I know that modern religion, Pentecostal, so-called holiness religion, likes that word power. They use it a lot. And they are like Simon Magus. You remember the story of Simon Magus, who wanted the power of the Holy Spirit in order to do miracles and so forth. And God, the apostles sternly rebuked him. I'm not sure if the Lord dealt with him or not. But this scriptural that's taken from Genesis 32:28, when the Lord changed Jacob's name to Israel. And he told him, because he wrestled with the Lord, said, I won't let you go till you bless me. He said, as a prince, thou hast power with God and with men. That's prevailed. In other words, and this is what we want. We want the Lord to hear us. We're not praying to be heard. We're needy. And we want the Lord to use us with men. No, we want people to be saved. Lord, hear us, please. Like Daniel's prayer. Not going through the motions of prayer. Lord, grant thy power. The gospel, what's the power of God? I just told you, the gospel is the power of God. Lord, speak, use the gospel, the salvation of our soul and others. This is a vital message. Colossians 4, a vital message. Vital means pertaining to life. Like your vital sign, you take your vital sign and take your pulse. This is vital. This is pertaining to life. Prayer is the believer's breath, heartbeat. What prayer is? Calling on the Lord. Prayer is calling on the Lord. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The fact of the matter is, if you call, He's given you life. You wouldn't come. He's called you, or you wouldn't come. Calling on the Lord. We're calling on the Lord always, and we're told here to do it without ceasing and continuing prayer, because without Him we can do nothing. We don't want to do anything without Him. Don't want to make a move. I want to act. I want to react. I want to speak. Paul goes on to say that we ought to walk in wisdom, that we might redeem the time, that our speech might be with grace, knowing how we ought to answer. And we just don't know. We have to ask the Lord. Help us to walk around. That's what prayer is, calling on the Lord. And prayer is calling. Prayer is confessing. We just read Daniel's prayer. Prayer is communing. It's just speaking to your Father. Prayer is petitioning, asking. Prayer is praising, thanking Him, and everything. Now, it begins, chapter 4, with masters. And really, you know, the translators made the chapters divisions. It just went with what we just studied. However, in the Lord's providence, starts a new chapter, and it says in the last part of line 1, we have a master in heaven. Well, if he's our master, then we take orders from him. So prayer is asking, what would the Lord? And Saul of Tarsus, when he first met the Lord, the first thing he said, Lord, what will you have me to do? He was a free willer before. Now, he doesn't know what to do, where to go. And he asked the Lord, what will that have me to do? So we have a master that we call upon and we serve. And we seek his will, not our own. We're not our own. We're bought with a price. We're the Lord's children. We're sons and servants. And we take our orders from him. And therefore we call upon him into everything. Everything. We're not free agents. We're servants of our master. Prayer is, as I said, the breath of life, a born-again child of God. You never really pray, you never really call until you're born again. Most of you heard this story, but I don't get tired of it. When my daughter was born, and a child is born spiritually like a child is born physically by the seed. The father's seed is sown. And that seed is what's the word? Conceived in the womb. And in the heart of man, this word of God, through the preaching of the gospel, is conceived in the heart of a dead sinner. Okay? My daughter was born. She came out of that womb, out of darkness, into light. Okay? Born of water and blood. Out of Christ's side. Christ crucified. Alright? She came out. And all I was concerned about, didn't care if she was a female, if it was a male or a female, but I just want to know she's alive. How do you know? How do you know she's alive? Well, the doctor inflicted a little pain. You know, when we were born, us older folks, I guess they whacked our behind. But they just, the bottom of her little tender feet, they just flicked the bottom of her feet. Not too much pain, but just enough to make her I did too. I cried too. She's alive. She's alive. Alright, she cried. She wailed. And they gave her to me, put her in my arm, and I started talking to her. It's okay, honey. Daddy's here. She stopped crying. She stopped crying. Her eyes open. She looked into my eyes. She's alive. That's what happens when a child of God is born. Exactly. The word is sown. Conviction of sin. Pain. Conviction over sin. Why? Calling on the Lord. God be merciful unto me, the sinner. Then he look into the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, it's okay. And you quit crying. He soothes you. Prayer is crying. Now we're told here in verse 2 to continue in prayer and watch and say with thanksgiving. Continue in prayer. Our Lord spoke in Luke 18. We'll get to that eventually, I guess. But he said men ought always to pray. And he gave the illustration of the importunate widow who kept coming to the judge, who kept coming, kept coming, kept coming. Finally he said, I'm going to answer this lady. And he said, will not God answer and avenge his very elect who cry unto him day and night? Yes, he will. He hears every prayer. Every tear of our skin, his Bible. That's what the scripture says. He hears every cry. And though he doesn't answer immediately every prayer, he does hear them, and he will answer them one way or another. Like the woman he seemed to ignore. Oh, he didn't ignore her. He's testing her. Try it. Men ought to always to pray. Continue in prayer. Pray without ceasing. Why? Because we're tempted without ceasing. We're tried without ceasing. Our tempter, our adversary, doesn't stop. He doesn't stop tempting that. So in Ephesians 6, go back to Ephesians 6. It's very similar. Colossians and Ephesians are just alike. Ephesians 6, verse 18. He says, and oh, don't you love this chapter? It talks about the armor of God. Shield of faith. Sword of the Spirit. Verse 18, praying always with all prayer. That is in everything. He said that in Philippians. In everything. By prayer and supplication. Supplication. in the Spirit, that is, in the name of Christ, asking the Holy Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And remember this, he says, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. So he says, praying always, continuing prayer. Pray without ceasing. Can we pray without ceasing? Can you pray all day? Every day? All day? Can you? Why does he tell us that? We can't be on our knees all day long. The Lord knows that. He wasn't. He was on his knees in private. And by the way, that is a good posture at times to be on. Our Lord was. Flat on your face. Our Lord was. He fell on his face. You ever been so low and so needy that you lay on the floor? Don't tell anybody about it. But have you ever been that low where you thought, lying prostrate at his feet? Daniel did. Our Lord did. Well, that's sincere prayer. But you can't be on your knees all the time. Prayer is not a posture. It's an attitude. It's a heart and a will. It's a mind, a heart, always thinking of or going out to, thinking of, calling on God. Being aware of our Lord and communing with Him. You can. And now there are times during the day, most of the day, that is, that we're busy, we're working, we have responsibilities that require our undivided attention. Right? The Lord knows that. The Lord knows that. And yet, even in that, we want wisdom. And we call, we ask. Yeah, it's an attitude. That's what it is. More than action. It's not words necessarily, but the outpouring of the heart and soul is looking up to our Lord. Lord, help me. Most of the time, I pray a three-word prayer. Lord, help me. Don't you? Lord, have mercy. Three words. Will you hear that? One of the greatest prayers ever prayed was Peter when he was going down under the water. Lord, save me. You heard him. Oh, Lord, help me. Lord, have mercy. Lord, save me. Us. So prayer is an attitude of the heart and mind and will and soul going up to God. There's no life without it. No, right. No one's alive that doesn't commune with their Lord. If you don't call on the name of the Lord, you won't be saved. I tell everybody, young and old, call. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord. Get in your closet, get alone, and call on the name of the Lord. Call, ask Him. Young ladies, young men, call on the name of the Lord. And whosoever shall call from the heart in sincerity, you have this promise, shall be saved. So is it simple as that? Well, salvation is not simple. But simply, for us, we must simply just call. Not do, call. Not do, look, believe. Isn't that wonderful? And the Lord merciful grace. No, you're not saying climb Mount Sinai. No. Just call. He's an ever-present help. No union if you don't call. No communion. No union if there's no communion. All right. Rather than explain prayer, I've read lots of books and good books. Rather than try to define prayer or tell you how to pray, let's just look at some prayers, okay? Let's just look at when we look at these prayers, we'll see how to pray and what to pray, okay? 1 Kings 8. We're going to look at the prayer of a king. We just looked at the prayer of a prophet, Daniel. We're going to look at that again. Habakkuk, another prophet. Then we're going to look at the prophet, priest, and king. how he tells us to pray to the Lord. 1 Kings 8, many of you know that this is the prayer of Solomon at the dedication of the temple. And every mention of the temple here is a type of Christ. Christ is who we pray to, in whose name we pray, who we look to. It's a type of Christ. The temple was where the ark was, wasn't it? The Ark of the Covenant, where the mercy seat was. We don't look to a box or look to a place. We look to a person, don't we? So this is a type of Christ. And every time he mentions looking to this house, he's talking about Christ. All right? 1 Kings 8, look at verse 22. Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation of Israel and spread forth his hands toward heaven, and he said, now listen to the language. Listen to the fear. Listen to the reverence. Listen to the repentance. Listen to the awe. Listen to how he describes God. You won't hear this today. Someone notified me recently of a national day of prayer. They're going to meet on the courthouse step. I said, I'm not going. We pray to a different God. Listen to the language of God's people. Lord God of Israel, there's no God like thee in heaven above or in earth beneath who keepest covenant. I've been thinking about that message too. Covenant and mercy. You want to hear that one? I do. Who keepest covenant and mercy with thy servants that walk before thee with all their heart. Verse 33. Go down there now. When thy people Israel be smitten down before the enemy because they've sinned against thee, and shall turn again to thee and confess thy name. God won't hear prayer that's not in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he'll hear every prayer that's in the name of, for the glory and honor of, and petitioning God for Christ's sake. He'll hear that prayer. And confess thy name and pray and make supplication unto thee in this house or toward Christ our Lord. Then hear thou in heaven and forgive the sin of thy people Israel. See the first thing? See the thing that's most needful? When the Lord told Isaiah to comfort God's people, the first thing he said to their comfort was, the warfare is accomplished, iniquities are. This generation doesn't know anything about that. God, we do. God's people. This is the chief reason why we call on the Lord. Every time. And verse 34. Bring them again in the land which thou gavest unto their fathers. When heaven is shut up, there's no rain because they've sinned against thee. If they pray toward this place or in Christ's name, confess thy name, and turn from their sin when thou afflictest them. All afflictions are from God. Basically, wrath is from the Lord. Why? Sin. Then hear thou in heaven and forgive the sin of thy servant and of thy people Israel, that thou teach them the good way wherein they should walk, and give rain upon thy land which thou hast given to thy people for inheritance. If there be in the land famine, if there be pestilence, blasted, mildew, locust, or if there be caterpillar, if their enemy besieges in the land of their city, whatsoever plague, whatsoever sickness there be, what prayer and supplication soever be made by any man, or by all thy people Israel, which shall know every man the plague of his own heart, and spread forth his hands toward this house, toward Christ, then hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and forgive, and do, and give to every man according to his ways, whose hearts thou knowest. Thou, even thou only, knowest the hearts of all the children of men, that they may fear thee all the days that they live in the land that thou gavest our fathers. Fear confession of sin. Praise, honor, glory. Look at verse 44. If thy people go out to battle against their enemy, every day. Every day is a battle against our enemy. And we're no match. Wherever you send them, and they shall pray toward the city in Christ's name, toward Christ that thou hast chosen, toward thy house that you built for thy name. Hear thou in heaven their prayer and their supplication. Maintain their cause. If they sin against thee, there's no man that sinneth not. And thou be angry with them, and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away captive unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if they shall bethink themselves, so they've forgotten, but then they remember. If they bethink themselves, if they come to themselves, like the prodigal, whether you carry it away, they make supplication and say, we have sinned and done perversely. We have committed wickedness and returned unto thee with all their heart and all their soul to the land of their enemies which led them away captive and pray unto thee. Verse 49, hear thou their prayer and their supplication in heaven. Verse 50, forgive thy people that have sinned against thee and all their transgression wherein they have transgressed against thee, and give them compassion before them who carry them away captive, that they may have compassion on them. These are thy people. Is that your heart's prayer, your cry? That was Daniel's one. Go back to Daniel, okay? Let's look at that a little more closely. Daniel. Isn't that what Daniel prayed all the way through? Daniel was one of the finest men to ever live. You can't find one fault in Daniel. The Lord doesn't mention one fault. It's almost like he's faultless, because Daniel is such a type of Christ. We've looked at that from the very beginning. Daniel, the revealer of secrets, the one that Lord made ruler. He's such a type of Christ. But he's a sinner. He was dead in trespasses and sin at one time. Yes, he was. And the Lord revealed himself to him, revealed Christ to him, forgave his sins. And Daniel was a sinner to the day he died. Though not outwardly and openly and immoral and all that, yet he knew the plague of his heart. And the adversary, the devil, tempted him constantly. Did he think sin? Did he think about it? Surely he did. So he's a man of like passions. He's a sinner. And he set his face to the Lord to seek by prayer. Our Lord said, seek and you shall find. He said, if you seek me, you'll find me when you search for me with all your heart. And with fasting. The Lord hadn't done away with fasting. And he said in verse 4, I prayed unto the Lord my God. Now listen to his life. Listen to his fear. Listen to his reverence. Listen to how he calls God in heaven. Listen. And I made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God. Didn't our Lord say in Isaiah 8, don't fear their fear. Fear the Lord. Let him be your dread. Don't dread getting the disease. Dread missing Christ. Let him be your fear and your dread. The only thing people fear today is this sickness. I fear this sickness called sin in me. Don't you? I fear for this nation, this world, because of this sickness. The whole head is sick. The heart is faint. From the sole of their feet to the top of their head, no soundness in them. But in that same chapter in Isaiah chapter 1, the Lord says, come now. Let's reason together. Come where? Come to Christ. You see, as me as scarlet, that means wash not how. Christ crucified. Oh Lord, the great and dreadful God. Here it is again. Keeping the covenant and mercy. That just might be Sunday's message. Our salvation is by covenant mercies. Many of you read that book, Mercies of a Covenant God by John Warburton. I better get off of that. To them keeping covenant and mercy, to them that love Him, or as the psalm said, to them that love His salvation, love Christ. Verse 5, we've sinned, committed iniquity, we've done it wickedly, we've rebelled, departing from thy precept, from thy judgment. We haven't listened to your prophet. One person in here can say that they've kept God's word and heeded God's word and listened carefully and perfectly and walked according to His word. What person can? We'd never fall if we did. Oh Lord, verse 7, righteousness belongeth unto thee. I need it. I need righteousness to get into glory. No. And I can't get there by mine because I don't have any. And it belongs to the Lord. What do we have? Confusion. Well, that doesn't describe the day we live in. Confusion of faces. Daniel said, as it is today, everybody walking around in confusion. He said, the men of Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, Israel's religion today is just confused. They say God didn't have anything to do with all that. Well, then who did it? Whoever did it, let's pray to Him. Stop this. God did it. Why? S-I-N.
Right.
Nothing changed. God hadn't changed. These prayers are the same. They're all the same. One thing is needful. Mercy. Mercies of the covenant of God. One thing. Us, all of us, Judah, Israel, Jerusalem, everybody. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is what? Death. But there's a gift. There's a gift for the asking. Just for the asking. Like our Lord told that woman at the well, if you knew, you would ask, and He would give. If you knew who it was speaking of you, and the gift, you would ask, and He would give to you. People ask it for everything, but one thing. Is he not guilty? Are you guilty? Be glad. Be glad. Be thankful if you feel your guilt. Be thankful if you feel like the chief of sinners. You know why? That's who Christ came to die for. I'm telling you the truth. Brother Scott, you say, I'm not just preaching, I'm telling you the truth. It's a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and Paul said, I'm the worst, and I'm a pattern. He said, I'm a pattern of who He came to save, the worst. A blasphemer, injurious, but I obtain mercy. Ask the thief on the cross. He'll tell you. He'll say, the chief of sin, just for asking, Lord, remember me. Okay, today. Right now. Call, ask. Oh Lord, confusion. We trespass. Verse 8, oh Lord, to us belong confusion of faith, our leaders, our princes, our fathers. Nobody knows where to go, what to do. The Lord has turned them inside out, upside down. Why? Because they reject Him. Because we've sinned against Him. But to the Lord, verse 9, belong mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against Him. And so he goes on. He keeps going on. Don't you love the end of his prayer? Verse 19. Now, don't you love this? Oh, Lord, listen to this. Oh, Lord, hear. This is not what you'd call an eloquent prayer, but it is eloquent. Very simple. One or two syllables. Oh, Lord, here. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake, O my God. If only everyone would say that from a heart broken over sin. Call him in spirit and truth in the name of Christ, O my God. The Lord would have great mercy. But they're not. But we are. Don't you think? Little book of Habakkuk. Find that. Here's a one verse prayer. One of the greatest in the Bible. And what he asked for. The same thing. One verse in Habakkuk. It's really a song. The whole chapter, verse 3, is a song given to saint be sung. And it's a prayer, like the Psalms are songs, every one of them. And many, if not most, are prayer. All right, look at it. In Habakkuk 3, a prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet, upon Shigeuna, that is an instrument. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years, or these perilous times. In the midst of the years, make known, make yourself known, make the truth known. In wrath, remember mercy. Nothing's changing. They regenerate. Now let's look at what our Lord, how our Lord tells us to pray. Matthew 6. Matthew chapter 6. You remember the disciples came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray. And that means not only how to pray, but teach us to pray, that we need to pray. And he did. He said, men ought always to pray. And this is how, this to whom, and this is what for, and for whom. Matthew 6, he said, now he began very plainly in this chapter to say, when you pray, when you do, don't be like the hypocrites. They want to be seen. They want to be seen. They want to be heard. They want people to see them and hear them pray, that the people might know their religion. When we pray, there's one person we want to hear us. There's one person we want to look upon us, don't we? In mercy. It's our Father. And he tells us to enter in our closets. Now here's what he says. Here's how he tells us to pray. Verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven. He's talking to his disciples. Everyone can't call him Father. But those born of God, born of His Spirit, born of the Gospel, Christ is our salvation. God is our Father. Which art in heaven, hallowed, holy be thy name. Holy, holy, holy. Holy God, holy Father. Oh, we wouldn't dare call a man holy Father, would we? Doesn't it hurt your heart to hear somebody say that? Your Highness, Your Majesty. Don't that hurt? Doesn't it hurt? That's deserved for one person. Our Father in heaven. Holy, holy, holy. Hallowed be thy name. Holy Father, thy kingdom come. Come, Lord Jesus. Come. May the gospel come in power. Thy will be done. We don't want our will, do we? We don't have a free will. We don't want one. Don't let me have my will. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Now you know what bread he's talking about. Now. The bread of life. Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by the word of God. That's what we truly live upon. We can go without bread many days. We can't go without this bread. One day, or we'll be weak. And we'll fall. Give us this day, our daily bread. And forgive us. Give us and forgive us. Our debts, Oh, our debts. Oh, how deep in debt we are to our God. A debt of gratitude. The sin debt we owe. And I'm here to tell you, the Lord Jesus paid it off. All the debt I owe. Child of weakness, watch and pray. That's in that song. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. He went on down to say, if you forgive not men their trespasses, your Father won't forgive you. And notice, he's telling us to pray not just for ourselves, but for our brethren. Isn't that what Daniel did? Daniel's prayer was for himself and all his brethren. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They will prosper that love and pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for your brethren. Our Lord did. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not. Give us. Forgive us. Lead us. Lead us not. Don't let us go into temptation. Our Lord said, pray that you enter not into temptation. You're going to be tempted. We're going to be tempted every day. From the moment we wake up till we go to bed, we're going to be tempted. Pray that we don't enter it. That is, indulge it or fall for it. We're easy pickings for the God of this world. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. That's His name, Deliverer. He's our Deliverer. But this is your kingdom. It's your power and it's your glory forever. Will you say that? Amen. Now back to our text. I'll close this out. Our Lord, through Paul, says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Watch. Watch. What does that mean? Well, just what it says. When you're on the watch, when you're watching out, you have your eyes open, don't you? You're on the lookout. You're being observant. You can't sleep and be watchful. Can you? So over and over through the Scripture it says, let us not sleep as do others. And men and women throughout this land have some kind of carnal sense of security now that they've got their 12th stimulus check. They go to bed and they sleep. Let's watch and prayer. This is one of Satan's temptations. Deceitfulness of riches. Carnal security. Let us watch. Beware of the danger. Ephesians 6 talks about putting on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the trickery, the craftiness, the traps, the snares, the lies, the deceptions of Satan, who's the master, who tempted and they fell. The first man and woman who were far superior in knowledge than you men, except faith in Christ. We do know and believe Him, don't we? We have that knowledge. They did after they fell. But Satan is a master of deception. And he uses the flesh, the things of this world, the people in this world. It's his art. It's his craft. It's his wild. It's his traps and his snare. Open your eyes. And often, always, it's prayer and watch is together. And what we're praying for is, Lord, make me watch. Open my eyes. Let me see. Let me see. Let me be watchful. Pray to watch and watch to pray. And one time, you remember when our Lord took His disciples and said, watch with me, I want to go pray. He was always praying. And I remind us that if our Lord was always praying, where does that leave us? How much more should we pray? But He took His disciples into the garden. He said, watch with me. I'm going to go pray. For who? For them. And for the work He was going to do on Calvary's tree. I meant to look at, it's not enough time to look at Daniel 9, was it? The end of that day, that's Christ crucified, what Daniel said. But anyway, he's going into the garden to pray, and he told them to watch with him. Watch with him. Just before that, they all said, "We'll die with you." Well, they couldn't even watch 1 hour. Couldn't stay awake 1 hour. We're pitiful. And that's when he said, "The spirit is willing, but the flesh is so weak." And he kept coming back and saying, "Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Not 1 hour." He said, "Pray that you enter not into temptation." And they all did, you know. They all didn't watch. They all didn't pray. And very shortly thereafter, they're all running scared. And one of them, fleeing for their lives. They'd forgotten everything he said. They didn't watch with him in prayer. So, they were scared to death. They acted like they had no faith. Why? They didn't watch. They didn't pray. And that's what he said. Watch that you enter not into temptation. And look at this. Here in closing, he says, with all praying, always praying for us preachers, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ. And he said, I can't tell you how many times he says this. 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, Ephesians, on and on it goes. Pray for us, brethren, pray for us, brethren, pray for us. Who? The preacher. Preacher of the word. Because the gospel is the power of God and salvation. You need it. I need it. We need this gospel to save us. Our children need it. Our grandchildren need it. Our neighbors, our community, our nation needs it. Pray for the word. Pray for the preachers and pray that God would raise up laborers. Field may not be white with harvest, but there's still some out there. The door of the ark still open. Pray for the gospel. Use these means and pray for them. The Lord use them. All right, stand with me. Our Father, again, we thank you for your word. Oh, how we need reproof, rebuke, correction, instruction, and righteousness. How we need thy word. How we need to be taught to pray. Not only urged and exhorted to pray, but how to pray, what to pray. We know not what things to ask for, so much. We know thy spirit knows, and we pray with groanings that cannot be uttered. And oh, thou, Lord, just on the heart, thou knowest. And so we call upon you, and we ask, oh Lord, to give us the desire to pray, give us the heart to pray, cause us to pray, Lord, to seek thy thing, to be watchful. Lord, open our eyes. Open our eyes. Let us see that they that be with us are more than they that be against us. Oh, let us see that all things work according to your will and purpose and in your hands. And let us fear not their fear, but fear thee. And let you be our dread. Let us fear God and not man. Let us believe our God. Let us take you at your word. Let us walk according to it. That's our prayer. It's so much more. We pray these things and we give thanks. In Christ's name. Amen. You're dismissed.